As we mentioned earlier, the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference does kick off today. A lot of CEOs speaking there, a lot of deals and collaborations being announced in advance of that. Our Anjali Kamlani is here with us and with a special guest, Albert Bourla, who is the CEO of Pfizer. Anjali, take it away.
Thank you, Julie. And hello to Albert. Thank you again for joining us today. I know that you and I were both looking forward to possibly seeing each other in person this time, but unfortunately, Omicron got in the way. I want to start off with talking about that, actually, and just the impact that you're seeing. We know that here in the U.S. that we've had discussions about boosters coming this fall, and we're watching the Omicron wave really surge in certain parts of the country as well as the world. Tell me what you're seeing in terms of the potential for, possibly changing how we look at boosters and what kinds of boosters you anticipate. I know you're working on an Omicron-specific booster as well right now. So what's at stake for us in fall of 22?
Clearly, the situation has been deteriorated because of the Omicron. We had a very quick ramp up. It is... A disease that manifests a little bit less in terms of mildness. I mean, it's more mild, but because of the high infectious rates, still the hospitals in absolute numbers are going much higher in terms of severe disease, ICUs, occupation, et cetera, et cetera. So, and we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with a booster, they offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. Against deaths, I think, very good. And less protection against infection. Now, we are working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, let me put it that way, that will cover Omicron as well. And, of course, we are waiting to have the final results. The vaccine will be ready in March, and the vaccine will be able to produce it massively. We need to see if we will need it, and we need to see if and what place can take in the overall fight against the virus, particularly now that we know that mutations are coming faster, that we have a treatment. So all of that needs to be taken seriously into consideration. But we've never had more weapons on our box too.
Absolutely. And Pfizer, of course, taking the lead with that. I know that you've expanded, of course, your collaborations on that front, especially with BioNTech for mRNA. But I want to quickly talk about the kids vaccine before we get to that. I know that right now, there's a lot of parents waiting for that under five to come out. And the company has said that it's going to need to be a three-dose vaccine. Do you see that to be the case for adults as well, especially as we see that while you do offer really strong protection, the waning immunity is an issue because it wanes pretty quickly?
Yes. First of all, I don't have any doubts that this is also for adults a three-dose vaccine. And I think this is what basically every health authority in the world is recommending right now. Now, the question is if we will need, let's say, annual boosters or not, but this is a three-dose vaccine, particularly for the adults. What was the second question that you asked, Annalise?
Sorry, for the kids, the update on the timeline there, knowing that, there are so many parents waiting for that under five. Do you have an updated timeline on when we can see that?
I think things will move fast. We are collecting right now data from the third dose. We are having already data from the second dose because two doses in younger kids is different than in adults. We are in discussions with FDA, and we will submit everything to them. I hope that things can move very, very fast, actually, not in months, in a few weeks.
Sure. Yeah, we're all waiting for that for sure. And when you're talking about, the treatments are also out there, but we also still need to meet global needs for vaccines. I know you've repeatedly said that you have had refusals for the vaccines. There's also vaccine hesitancy as an issue, especially in lower and middle income countries. Is that still the situation now? Have you found a change after you started shipping more towards the end of last year?
Oh, yes. First of all, let's put some statistic out there. In 2021, we had said that we would produce approximately 3 billion doses, and we did. we released 3 billion doses, from which 2.6 million billion approximately were shipped to countries. Among those 2.6, a billion was shipped to middle and low-income countries, so 38%. So that's what we had promised, and this is what we had delivered. Now, what is the situation, particularly for the lower income of this range? Right now, we have more than they can absorb, unfortunately. And I think all the efforts of the WHO, of UNICEF, of philanthropic organizations like Gates, Doctors Without Medicines, and us should be in one, fighting the misinformation in these countries and creating a vaccine advocacy and support, because people are hesitant to do it in higher numbers than in the high-income countries. But also there is a lack of infrastructure. Sometimes it's difficult even to carry the vaccine to a vaccination center. We used, we worked with a project to carry them with drones that was very successful. The drones could carry in these low temperatures the vaccines, but we didn't have where to take them eventually, because they are not operating vaccination centers in the rural parts of the country. So all of these are issues that needs to be addressed, and that should be the focus of everyone right now.
Definitely, and to that point. Absolutely. And to that point, the mRNA really being a newer technology for these countries to absorb, that has been part of the issue. I know that you created that agreement with South Africa, the BioVac Institute. And with the sort of investment that you're making in mRNA right now, expanding that agreement with BioNTech, that partnership, and moving into other vaccines, do you see this as more of a long-term play? And do you see maybe resolving some of those transportation logistical issues as part of your work there?
Yes, I think the transportation and logistical issues that are related with the nature of our vaccine at last have been addressed. Right now, we are able to produce a new formulation that can stay 2.5 months in normal refrigeration, so like every other vaccine. So I don't think this is the issue. The issue is that there are not people to inject. There's no healthcare practitioners, there is not a center to receive it so that people can come. And very importantly, people are not queuing outside to get a vaccine because they don't believe in that. So these are the issues mainly that needs to be addressed. As regards the investments that we are doing in the area, it's not only on the COVID vaccine, but clearly we are investing a lot to make sure that we make better vaccines, the Omicron one, a vaccine that can cover Omicron in addition to everything else is, for example, a good example. But we are also working, we just announced three new deals today. One is with Beam Therapeutics that is trying to harness the power of mRNA in gene editing. The other is with Codex, which will potentially allow us to reduce the time in manufacturing of RNA from 1 month, which is the part that takes now to make the DNA, to maybe a few days, very, very important. And the other is licenses from Acuitas in LNP, 10 targets of LNP. LNP is the technology that uses lipid nanoparticles to transfer RNA to our tissue. So we truly believe that the mRNA technology is very powerful. It's not the holy grail, but it is very powerful. We are just scratching the surface. And we are very, very well positioned to put together capabilities of others and ourselves to produce medicines that the world needs.
Absolutely. And speaking of medicines that the world needs, we also see the antiviral, you know, making its way throughout the world. Production of that still ramping up and deliveries as well. So while supplies are constrained for right now, do you see that impacting the pandemic and sort of the way that people have been anticipating, especially because it's coming a little bit after this Omicron spread?
I think it's coming, I wish we had it in larger quantities, but it came exactly the moment that you need it. I think it's a game changer. It is a game changer because we know that people are getting way more sick. First of all, there are unvaccinated people that they are getting hospitalizations. There are people that new variants don't protect, and clearly Omicron is not going to be the only variant that exists there, and this wave is not going to be the only wave. that we are facing, unfortunately, but this is the reality. The virus is endemic almost all over the world. Also both the natural infection and vaccinations, they don't produce lasting immunity against this virus. It's not that the vaccines that they have, it is the virus that has these characteristics. As I said, even the natural infection produces even less durable immune responses. And so the virus will be here for many, many years. And we're lucky that we have pills and vaccines of high effectiveness so that we can control and go back to normal lives, which is the given right now.
Right, absolutely. We're all looking forward to that. Right now.
This is what everybody's asking, go back to normal life.
Certainly. And it certainly has set the stage for you to be able to expand, like you mentioned, in mRNA. So I believe that we're going to be hearing a lot more about this. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. But Albert Bourla, CEO of Pfizer, thank you so much again for your time in helping us with our coverage for JPM this year. All the best and look forward to speaking to you again soon. Julie, back to you.
Thanks, Anjali. Appreciate it. And yes, indeed, back to normal is what we are all hoping for.